Hello, I'm Greg from Suburban Men.
And I'm Zan from Where Gals Wander.
We're a married couple that packed up and left the Midwest
for a chance for a new life in Southern California.
We were stuck, living the same routines day after day after day.
But the move out west fundamentally changed something.
We realized we wanted more. More adventure, more challenges.
So we literally loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly. Well, Los Angeles.
And now we want to share our adventures and what we have learned.
And together we are
California Exploring. Hello and welcome to episode one. Hi, honey.
Hi. It's our anniversary today.
It is our anniversary today. 22 years.
I know. Well, we've been together 24.
Right.
We've been married 22.
Okay.
I need to clarify that.
So this is our first episode of our podcast.
Yes.
We're not exactly sure where this is going to wind up, but it's something that we wanted to try out and share a little bit of our lives with you in our move to California.
Yep. So where shall we start?
Let's start at the beginning.
All right.
You know, it's our anniversary today. It's our 22nd anniversary. So let's talk a little bit about
how we met. Well, it was
you
more
go
than
back
a day.
That far?
Yeah, we might as well, right?
Okay.
So I was in graduate school and I was a sociology major. And where were you?
I was working in tech. I think I was doing desktop support at that time and doing a little side work for America Online back when America Online, it wasn't even the internet at that point. It was a dial-in service. You'd get the endless floppy disks in the mail for America Online.
Yes.
So I was moderating chat rooms.
And I was a sociology major in grad school, and one of the projects I had was on cyber interaction, now that the internet was this new big thing. So I had a three-month project to go into these chat rooms and figure out what they were all about.
And what did you find out?
And that's where I found you. So I went into these chat rooms, and they were very interesting, not at all what I expected, that's for sure. And there really was a sense of community. I think that's the thing that surprised me the most, is that people really formed friendships sort of in the real life format too. And I wasn't expecting that at all.
Well, I think that might have been something a little different. We met in the Windy City chat room,
a
Chicago-based chat room. And I think that might be a little different than AOL as a whole, in that people made a concerted effort to actually get together in real life.
Right.
There were almost weekly get-togethers at some bar where everyone would meet up. And sometimes there were 50 or 60 people that would show up at these things.
Yeah. So speaking of which, as part of the conclusion of my project, I had to interview someone in a more professional capacity with AOL. And since you were the chat room host, I reached out to you and asked if I could interview you, which you took as that I was hitting on you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's as a chat room host, I was supposed to monitor conversations and I actually had the tools to take people temporarily or permanently offline to ban them if they were not following the terms of service. But that was kind of like letting a shark loose.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
In the mackerel cage.
Yeah. Because I wasn't the only woman you were flirting with in that room.
Oh, I'll deny that.
So we made arrangements for me to give you a call and interview you by phone, and it was supposed to be about an hour. And I remember it was like 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And we ended up speaking for five, almost 6 hours.
Like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And we veered away from the interview very quickly.
We did.
It was more of just a conversation.
Yeah. I think at the end I was like, oh, wait, I need this information for my paper. Let me ask you this list of questions.
Probably half asleep at that point.
Yeah. But you didn't hang out.
No, it was very natural, and the conversation just flowed.
Yeah.
It was kind of like we'd known each other forever, but we hadn't actually met.
Right.
At this point, other than chatting in a chat room, a text chat room online.
And then fate sort of intervened. And I was living out in DeKalb. I was going to Northern Illinois University. And my roommate said, there's this new club that opened up in Schaumburg, which is like an hour away. It's a suburb of Chicago.
That's where I lived at the time.
Yeah, which I didn't know. And so she wanted to go and check out this club. And I said, fine. So we drove to Schaumburg. And as I was standing at the bar waiting to order a drink, I overheard a man telling a story. I can't remember what it was. I think it was something, I don't know. Telling a story to his friend as I stood there ordering, like waiting for the bartender to come over. And it was one of the exact same stories you had told me the day before.
And keep in mind, at this time with technology, everything was text-based.
Yes.
There were no profile pictures.
No.
There were no videos.
I mean, I had no idea what you
just come up with the ability to play a wave sound.
Yeah.
In the room. So when you talk to someone online, you had no clue what they looked like, what they were about.
I think I told you I was a man for like the first month that I was Yoda.
I don't remember that.
I said, I'm a short, green old man.
Yeah. That, it's not like I bought that.
But there would be people who would pretend to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, it was, you know, similar to, you know, what kind of goes on with the internet now. There was a lot of anonymity if that's what you wanted.
Right.
But again, with our group, you know, that kind of faded away pretty quickly because
you guys
most of the people who were regulars in that room, who were there all the time, I don't remember anyone not purposely coming out to kind of join in.
Except me. But
you did.
But I did. So that night at the bar, I saw you and I heard you and I just knew that it was you. So I was kind of checking you out side eye, you know, seeing what you were all about. And I remember just having to look up at you because you're tall. Yeah. How tall are you?
6'5".
Yeah. And just these like really piercing blue eyes. I remember that for sure. And you and your friend were sitting there talking and goofing around and your friend was totally checking me out. Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I spent the rest of the night just sort of watching you, how you interacted with your friend, with the bartender, the waitresses, the other women there, you know, just to really get a sense in terms of who you were. And you behaved at least that night.
At least that night.
So the next day in the chat room, I remember messaging you and like messing with you and saying, I had a dream about you last night. You had these blue eyes and you were really tall and you were wearing this blue shirt.
And I'm freaking out.
Yeah, I totally freaked you out. You thought that I was a stalker, I think.
Well, you kind of were. I mean, you just admitted to sitting across the room and watching my every move.
Okay, well.
That's stalker status right there.
It was sociological research as part of my ongoing study.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's your story and you're sticking with it.
Okay. So can we just jump ahead? Because then like 2 weeks later, you actually asked me to marry you online. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did. And there was a lot of that kind of playfulness online. And that was kind of my banter was.
Oh, so I wasn't the only one that you asked.
No, you were the only one that I asked that to. But if you remember, I had, and this is going to sound incredibly cheesy and embarrassing at this point, but you mentioned that you read tarot cards.
Yes.
And I threw out the line, why don't you read my cards and tell me about our future together?
Oh, I forgot about that. I totally forgot about that.
Trust me, it was very smooth at the time. And it worked. He's here right now.
you always turned it into you won.
I did.
And I'm the prize.
You are.
Oh, well, okay.
Look at you. You're a prize.
We can talk about that later.
Okay.
But so after you asked me to marry you online, we actually did meet in person. There was a miscommunication that we still disagree to this day. I say that you invited me to go to a party at your place on the way to another party that I had to go to. And your version is...
You were getting together with your high school friends. You had this kind of regular bonfire thing that you guys did. And I simply said... since you were driving in from DeKalb, which was out in the middle of the cornfields anyway, why don't you just stop by and say hi?
Yeah.
And I think you took that to mean that I was hosting a party, but we were going out to a bar. We were going out to Moretti's.
But you had people
in Chicago.
Over.
Tommy was the only one there.
Okay. Because
we were getting ready to go out together. Tommy was driving.
I would not have shown up at some strange guy's apartment.
But you did.
But I didn't know. And so I showed up and I knocked on the door and I could hear somebody looking through the peephole.
And Tommy's famous line was, "Oh my God, it's a chick."
Yeah. Which made me feel so safe and secure at that point. But then you opened the door.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that we really met face to face.
Right.
And I came inside and we just hung out for like,
it wasn't very long.
It was like 20 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. And then you said
it was
you
weird.
Had to get going to the party. And then as I was walking you out of the apartment building to the front door, I said, "Don't I get to kiss the bride?" Playing off my earlier line asking you to marry me. And I had you, because I'm a foot taller than you, had you,
you turned and lifted me up on the step, which was smooth. I'll give you credit for that now. That was smooth. You did. And then gave me a very nice kiss. It wasn't like, it wasn't
macking, as we used to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then you went to your party and wound up leaving your party and all of your lifelong friends.
Well, don't say that, because they may listen to this and they're going to hate me.
It's been 25 years. They'll be over. Left the party with your lifelong friends to come to the bar to find me.
No, I was going to the bar to meet everybody that I had been researching online, and you just happened to be there.
Okay, first of all, we've got to drop the researching online, because you had formed friendships and relationships.
Yeah, I had.
And you had dated other guys outside of me before this happened.
True.
Right. So this isn't a research project at this point. We were all kind of caught up in this new thing, this new interaction online.
Yes.
And these new relationships.
Yes.
So you wound up coming out to the bar.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what happened at the bar, but I know we left together.
Yes.
Because you had your crappy little Chevette.
I did.
With the duct taped headlights.
Yes. And you insisted on driving.
No, I couldn't drive.
Oh, you couldn't drive because you were too tall.
I was too tall. I couldn't get my knees under
the
wheel.
That's right. So yeah. I was driving and we were going somewhere.
We were going to another bar, I think. We started out at one bar and then we were going to another bar.
Yeah.
And you had a hole in your jeans on your thigh. And I just reached over and kind of stuck my finger in it.
Which was rather forward.
Yeah. I figured I'd already picked you up and put you on the stuff and kissed you.
So, but that night ended cordially.
Yes.
We agreed that we would date. I went home.
And you drove back to DeKalb that night?
I think I stayed with somebody parents? That night. Maybe. Maybe I stayed with my parents. And it was July 1st. That was our first official date. There was something going on with 4th of July festivities or cookout or something like that you had people over.
My roommate.
Yeah.
Had a big deal.
Yes.
For the 4th. So we had a bunch of people over and set up some grills out in the courtyard. And
yeah.
I invited you over for that.
Right. And that was our first kiss, like first official kiss. Because we call that our...
No, we called July 1st our kissiversary.
Yeah.
That's the stairs.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that was... Okay, so maybe I did come over on the 4th then.
You did.
Okay.
You did. You came over to the barbecue and we played Nerf football and cooked out and stuff.
Yeah. And 6 weeks later, you asked me to move in with you.
Yeah. My roommate was actually moving to California.
Mm-hmm.
And you were finishing up your master's degree.
And I already had a job in Hoffman Estates, which was like 10 minutes away from where you lived.
I don't think so. I think you were still looking at that point, because we were together when you interviewed, because we had the conversation about your salary and stuff. But that's a minor point. So anyway, fast forward 2 years. We've lived together for 2 years.
Yep.
And we decided to do a little bit of a non-traditional wedding.
Well, first, don't you want to tell the story about how you proposed?
No.
He just rolled his eyes.
Yeah.
For those who can't see him.
I do that a lot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. This is the guy thing. This is you sweeping me off my feet, asking me to be your eternal bride.
And that's exactly what I did.
No, it was actually very sweet. So my mom used to work for a jeweler in downtown Chicago. And we had talked about the fact that we wanted to get married ahead of time. So we pretty much knew, you know, that it was kind of coming. And I would walk in and you and my mom would be like whispering and all of a sudden stop talking. And it's not like the two of you had a lot to talk about. So I kind of caught on what was going on. Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of conversations together.
And so you had kind of said something to me along the lines of you started asking me about like my ring preferences one day out of nowhere. Like, if I ever was to propose, what kind of ring would you want? And then told me you were going to go grocery shopping and you were gone for like 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
I remember I had to go, we were living out in Schaumburg about an hour outside of downtown Chicago, and I had to go into the loop into downtown Chicago to the jewelry district and up this dark, scary staircase to this jeweler's office. And this wasn't like a retail jewelry store. This was a guy who bought and sold diamonds and jewelry. I think more at a wholesale level, but hooked me up because of your mom.
Yeah. And then went grocery shopping because you said you had to go grocery shopping. So you felt like you had to keep the ruse going. But as soon as you walked in the door, you and I locked eyes and I knew exactly what was going on. And I could tell from the look on your face and you could tell from the look on my face. And we both just started laughing. And I think at that point,
I think I just dropped to a knee right there.
Because
I had the ring in my pocket. I'm
yeah.
Like, we both know what's going on.
Right. So right there, surrounded with the groceries, you proposed and I said, yes.
Yeah, I actually went to the grocery store.
Yeah, that's what I was. So, and then 3 months later, we got married. It was kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah. So anyway, to get back to what I was saying, we kind of went the non-traditional route. We didn't want the big church wedding. We didn't want a lot of the traditional stuff. And part of that was, you know, we were a young couple together. We didn't have a lot of money.
We were broke.
At that point. Yeah.
We were broke.
Yeah.
We were stapling curtains up, or sheets up, and calling them curtains.
And digging through the car, trying to find enough change for bread and peanut butter for the last day until payday.
Because at that point, I had graduated, but I started a career in social work, which did not pay.
You got paid nothing. Yeah. But so we wound up having the wedding and reception at the same place. It was one of the, you know, kind of traditional wedding reception halls, but they really did it nice. They set up a little arch up front for us and had a walkway for you. So they set the chairs up and we were very, very adamant about what we wanted. And we fought with your mom a lot because your mom kept exploding the guest list and your mom, to her credit, they did pay for the reception and stuff.
Yeah.
But it kept turning into, we're inviting this person, so we have to invite this person.
Yes. And
our answer was, no, we don't. We don't have to do anything.
But didn't we sort of also solve that by having it on like a Sunday night, knowing that that...
No, I think we did it on a Sunday night because it was cheaper.
Oh.
But we gave your mom a table.
Yes.
A table of 12. And we said, you can invite anybody you want for this table. We want approval on every other table.
Yeah.
But so... We told, you know, we were very clear up front that, you know, we're going to have the ceremony and the chairs are going to be set up in rows. And then we're going to have 1 hour in which we're going to take pictures with people, 1 hour only. Because we had just gone to Paul and Linda's wedding.
Yes.
Several months before that.
Yes.
And saw them get dragged around for like 3 hours with people continually dragging them over to take pictures. With them. So we were very clear that, you know, we got a 1 hour window, and during that 1 hour window, we had him serve drinks. We had him serve hors d'oeuvres.
Well, first, so our ceremony was only 15 minutes.
Yes.
That we wrote word for word ourselves.
Yes.
And had a judge sort of administer.
Yes.
And then as soon as that was done and we were married, we left to go get the pictures taken for that hour.
We did the formal pictures.
Yeah.
And, right, so we did the formal pictures, and then the hour started.
Right.
And we had them serve hors d'oeuvres and drinks.
And open the bar.
For 1 hour.
Yeah.
While we took pictures with people. And then the reception started. The DJ came in and fired things up. And We had a great time.
Oh my gosh.
We had an awesome reception, and everyone that told us said it was one of the funnest receptions they'd been to in a very long time. So yeah, it was everything that we'd hoped for.
It really was. It was such a party.
It was. Yeah. That's what it was. And, you know, we had sat down with the DJ a couple months before, and, you know, I think you had some very definite ideas on songs that you wanted played in order.
That's so unlike me.
And he said, queen of the playlist.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I know what I'm doing. Let me just handle it. And I think there was one song. There's one you said, I absolutely do not. I don't remember what it was, but you said there's one song I absolutely do not play this one.
Yeah.
It was like the chicken dance or the hokey pokey or something.
Yeah, I think both of those.
And he wound up playing them anyway.
Yeah, I know.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. We had a great time. So the reception's over.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We had a hotel booked for that night.
It was like 3 a.m. because the reception was supposed to end at midnight, but everybody was having so much fun and no one was leaving that we ended up paying the DJ to stay longer.
Yeah. And we wound up staying and signing all of the checks that were gifts so that we could actually pay for the honeymoon once we got down there, so my mom could deposit in the bank the next morning.
And that's when I realized that hyphenating my last name was a mistake because it took me forever to sign my name.
Yeah. But we had a hotel booked, I think, right outside of O'Hare. Mm-hmm. And we got to the hotel about 3 in the morning. Our flight was at 7.
Yeah.
7 or 8 the next morning to go to Jamaica for our honeymoon. And you had had a dress malfunction.
Yes.
So your bridesmaids wound up duct taping parts of your dress.
To me.
To your body.
Yes. That is true.
Which
that was a mistake. Duct tape
then stayed applied to you for like 8 hours.
Yes.
So I'm going to let you take this part of the conversation.
Oh, okay. So our honeymoon night was...
Wedding night.
Yeah. Wedding night, yes. Was spent with you trying to peel the duct tape off, which also pulled off layers of skin in some of the most sensitive areas. So that was not the romantic evening that I think we were both hoping for.
It wasn't the romantic evening I was hoping for.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And then we ate wedding cake because we never had any at the reception. We had that for breakfast and then left for the airport. We never even went to bed.
I think we got like 2 hours of sleep, maybe.
Yeah.
I think we finally got the tape off.
And then just collapsed.
And yeah, we were exhausted at that point.
And I was in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then got to the airport, flew down to Jamaica.
Yep. That was the first time that I had ever really been on an airplane.
Yeah. First time out of the country.
Yep.
Well, you'd never, until we moved to California, you'd never lived.
Anywhere but Illinois.
Anywhere but.
Yeah.
I mean, you went to college in DeKalb and that was a half an hour away from where you.
2 hours, but yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you'd never lived anywhere other than the southwest suburbs of Chicago.
Correct.
Yeah. So then we got to Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an amazing trip.
Should we save that for episode 2? Or are you going to tell the story now? Go ahead.
Do we have enough stories for episode 2 from the honeymoon?
Go ahead. I know the story you're going to tell. Just go ahead and tell it. You can tell.
Well, I was simply going to say that, you know, you wound up getting sick.
Yes. I was allergic to something down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we stayed at a Sandals and it was awesome. We wound up booking 3 excursions.
Mm-hmm.
So we did Dunn's River Falls, and that's a rocky waterfall about 3 hours away from our resort.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we took a bus.
We did. And you hike up the waterfall.
Hike up the waterfall, climbing the rocks.
Yep.
And we got to the top. And you turned to me and said,
I made it all the way up the waterfall without falling.
And at that moment,
I took my final step.
You took a step and you fell.
Yes. Into the waterfall.
And I literally reached into the raging water, grabbed you by the hair.
Yeah.
and pulled you out of the waterfall.
Yes.
And I think you cracked your shin or something a little bit.
Wasn't
horrible, but.
I was bleeding, but yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The second excursion, in hindsight, wasn't a good move. It sounded awesome at the time. We decided we were going to, they had a package. You can go horseback riding on the beach and then up into the mountains. And that sounded so romantic.
Yes.
So we got on the horses and it literally was the slowest trail ride ever.
Yeah.
Down to the beach. And the beach was this tiny little corner. The beach size was maybe 40 square feet. Mm-hmm. And the guide had us walk the horses out about ankle deep in the water, turn around, and he took our picture.
Yeah.
And then we left.
Yeah.
I pictured galloping down the beach with your hair, you know, the whole Fabio romance novel thing with your hair, you know, flailing in the wind. And it was nothing like that. So then we rode back right by the stable.
Yes.
Where we started from. And then we were supposed to go up a couple hours up into the mountains. And at that point, we're like, we're done.
Yeah.
We want to get off these horses. Our rear ends were sore.
Because we had already been riding for like an hour just to get down to a little beach part.
Yeah, probably a little more than that even. So we wound up spending, and we couldn't. So we decided we were going to terminate the horseback ride, but we still had to wait for our bus to come back at our scheduled time.
Right.
So we wound up spending 3 hours of our second day of our honeymoon standing in this horse crap filled pasture.
But I remember laughing though.
Oh yeah.
Like we just laughed about it and made jokes.
Yeah.
And I became rather obnoxious as I tend to do.
Yeah. Well, we were young and stupid back then and everything was an adventure.
Yeah.
You know? And then our final excursion was the party boat.
Yes.
So we got on a catamaran and they basically take you on this catamaran out into the ocean to a spot where you can snorkel, which was awesome.
That was really cool.
It was really fun.
Yeah. And, I really love that.
And you know, as soon as you get on the boat, in fact, everywhere we went in Jamaica, there was usually a big, huge igloo cooler full of
something.
Rum punch available for us. So we went out and we snorkeled for a while and that was amazing.
Yeah.
And on the way back, I scooted out to the tip of one of the pontoons on the catamaran and I was riding it like a horse. And we're hitting some pretty choppy waves at this point. So I'm probably going 15 or 20 feet up and then down splashing
into
the water.
And I thought I was going to be a widow. Yeah.
And I'm just laughing. I'm laughing and having a great time riding this pontoon like a horse. And I look over on the other pontoon across the boat and this girl saw me and thought that looked pretty cool. So she scooted out and she lasted about 4 seconds. I think the first time that the boat slammed down into the water and she got sprayed, she turned around and crawled right back off that pontoon. And you spent the entire time in the netting.
Yep. The net over the water.
Right? So there's a net in between the pontoons.
Right.
It was kind of like a hammock.
Yeah.
Almost.
So I would get sprayed with the water and such, but I was still safe and secure.
Yes.
Yeah. The second time that we went to Jamaica for our 10-year wedding anniversary, we rode that same catamaran and it got struck by lightning. Remember that? And I happened to be holding onto the railing.
Well, we went for our 10th anniversary. We went back and we stayed at a different Sandals. We stayed at a nicer Sandals because we had some money at this point. And we wound up taking another party boat. Mm-hmm. And this time, instead of just going out snorkeling, it took us down to Margaritaville.
Right.
So we went down to the Margaritaville, went up, had a couple drinks there and got on the party boat back. And like a lot of the Caribbean and Florida and stuff, in the afternoon, you know, after as soon as lunch is over, the clouds come rolling in, it rains, and then everything kind of clears out. But we got on the boat and these big dark clouds were coming over the mountains towards us. And, you know, the guy said, let's get going. And, you know, they let the sails out and we were scooting.
We were cruising. Yeah.
We were scooting, coming back. And I looked at you and you were standing up and I'm sitting on the pontoon again, 10 years later. And I look at you and you're, so the railing was actually just steel cables.
Right.
And your hand is gripping the steel cable and your entire arm is shaking.
Yeah.
Uncontrollably.
Yeah.
And I had touched, I think I had a hand on one of the poles, and I looked at my hand and I had like a ball of spark.
Right.
Inside of my hand. So the mast got hit by lightning and it kind of traveled all through the boat.
And us.
And us.
Yeah.
So. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't tell the story about the night before our wedding.
Oh my God. So again, we're dead broke and we're doing everything kind of ourselves and it really worked out well, but we decided to hold our,
wedding rehearsal.
Yeah. At our
apartment. Townhouse. Yeah.
So the apartment that we lived in, we had the upstairs was the living area, and then underneath our bedroom was the garage. Mm-hmm. So we had everybody there, and we had a small wedding party. I think we had three each.
Yeah.
Three groomsmen, three bridesmaids. And so that night, you went to stay at your parents' house.
Yep. Following tradition.
And you realized at like midnight, 12:30, when you're leaving, that your cat is missing.
Yes. The cat that had lived with me the whole time when I lived by myself in DeKalb.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I rescued.
So you're getting in the car. You're freaking out.
Yes.
You're crying.
Yes.
Because your cat's gone.
Yes.
So the entire night until about 5 a.m.
Yes.
The night before our wedding.
Yes.
The biggest day of our lives.
Yes.
I'm walking around our neighborhood with a flashlight looking for this stupid cat that I absolutely hated.
Yeah, because you're allergic to cats.
I'm allergic to cats. I don't like cats.
Yeah.
And I spent 4 or 5 hours that night walking around the neighborhood. And I didn't find the cat that night. And so, you know, we had an amazing time on the honeymoon, but the first couple of days you were down. It was we didn't think we'd ever see the cat again. And then I called home and got the news that someone had found the cat.
Yes.
And brought the cat back.
Yes.
And then everything was okay.
Yes.
and at that time, I think I said that's the last cat I would ever own. And we've owned
5 cats since then.
Yeah.
Marley, Sox, Desi, and Sarah.
Yeah.
Four cats, yeah.
Well, I mean, you play that game. You go to a pet store with our little girls and have them pick up a cat and hug it and squeeze it. And then you'd send me a picture.
No.
It happened every time.
No, because
every time.
They encouraged me because Katie was so scared of animals and she didn't want to go to her friend's house if they had pets to start getting her used to it. So I took her to a pet store slowly each time. And one day I said, "Do you want to pet the cat?" And she said, "Yes." So we went in the little room and she sat down and the cat jumped right up in her lap and fell asleep. And she was 6 years old and she looked at me and she said, "Mommy, this cat is my destiny." And that's how we got Destiny the cat.
Yeah. So. I'm still horribly allergic to cats.
I know. You remind me of that every single day.
We still have a cat.
Yeah.
This will be the last cat we ever have.
True.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Yep.
And
end on the note of the cat.
Yeah. Let's go out on a high note.
Yeah.
We're planning on doing this podcast on a weekly basis. And I hope that, you've enjoyed this. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about kind of our history and let you try and get to know us a little bit. And then we're, you know, planning at least the first couple episodes after that to start talking about our move to California and the fact that you know, in Illinois we kind of got in a rut and didn't do a lot and how the move to California has changed us and what do you like to say?
There's more to life.
All right,
from where gals wander.
So hopefully this is entertaining for you. If you enjoyed it, make sure that you subscribe and check us both out. I'm Suburban Men on all social media and suburbanmen.com. And you are?
Wheregalswander.com, Wheregalswander on Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. We're just Gals Wander.
Just Gals Wander.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.